message today. I want to pray over his family. I just want to pray over Pastor Doug. We've been talking about transition, and their family has just been a lot of transition between Pastor Doug and Shauna and all of their children, everything they got going with graduations and school. And we just want to, they continue to be faithful to the house through it all. And that is so exciting to have leaders that continue to push through, to be that example for us as we continue to push through with everything that we have going on. So, Lord, today we just want to pray over the Deal family. We want to pray over Pastor Doug. We just want to just thank you for everything that you have given them and everything that you have given us through them, God. We pray over the words that Pastor Doug brings to us today, God. We just pray over the message, and we just pray for everyone's heart today to receive your message today, God. We give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And if you could please direct your attentions to the screen, as we do have a sermon opener today.
Chère mademoiselle, it is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight. And now, we invite you to relax, let us pull up a chair, as the dining room proudly presents your dinner. Be our guest. Be our guest. Put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, Sherry, and we provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvre. Why, we only live to serve. Try the gray stuff. It's delicious. Don't believe me? Ask the dishes. They can sing, they can dance. After all, miss, this is France. And a dinner here is never second best. Go on, unfold your menu, take a glance, and then you'll be our guest. We our guest, be our guest. Beef ragout, cheese souffle, pie and pudding on flambé. We'll prepare and serve with flair a culinary cabaret. You're alone and you're scared, but the banquet's all prepared. No one's gloomy or complaining while the flatware's entertaining. We tell jokes, I do tricks with my fellow candlesticks.
Put it all in perfect taste that you can best.
Come on and lift your glass, you've won your own free pass. To be our guest, if you're stressed, it's fine dining we suggest. Be our guest, be our guest, be our guest. Life is so unnerving for a servant who's not serving. He's not whole without a soul to wait upon. Ah, those good old days when we were useful. Suddenly those good old days are gone.
Oh.
10 years we've been rusting, needing so much more than dusting, needing exercise, a chance to use our skills. Most days we just lay around the castle. Flabby, fat, and lazy, you walked in and oops, a doozy.
It's a guest, it's a guest, sakes alive and I'll be blessed. Wine's been poured and thank the Lord, I've had the napkins freshly pressed. With dessert, she'll want tea, and my dear, that's fine with me. While the cups do their sauce chewing, I'll be bubbling, I'll be brewing. I'll get warm, I've been hot. Heaven's sakes, is that a spot? Clean it up, we want the company impressed. We've got a lot to do, is it one love? For two, for you, our guest. She's our guest.
She's our guest. People clumped over. Over here, line up. Not
now! We're obsessed. Who's your
some Disney in your life every now and then. Amen. Well, thank you guys so much for being here this morning. I'm a little bit loud. I got a little bit of a ring in here. So I'll just talk softly. Amen. All right. If you need an outline this morning, if you could just raise your hand, and our ushers will be more than happy to assist you. You can also feel free to download our CLC South Bend app, and you can follow along with us underneath the sermon notes tab. And last week we had such a great time celebrating all of our moms. I almost want to give moms. Can we just give moms a hand one more time? Amen. And you know, it really was a great service. Probably, in my opinion, probably the best Mother's Day service I've ever been a part of. It really was great. The worship was awesome, just as it was this morning in our Ignite Dance Ministry. They are, I mean, just growing with leaps and bounds with those children, those who are teaching them. We're so grateful for all of our leaders who lead them in that. And so, of course, my wife, Pastor Shauna, preached a very powerful message encouraging us that it's time for us to mature. We got to mature into a deeper place with God. And that imagery that she left with us last Sunday, she saw a picture of an adult, what I would call an adult child, but an adult who was in a diaper, but yet in a high chair. And that's not a pretty picture when you think of someone, especially you think about somebody my size in a diaper, in a high chair. That's not, you know, just kind of going to town on some pot roast. That's what we had last Sunday anyway, so I guess that was on her mind. But it was just really an interesting image to think about. And behind that image, I was able to, you know, the Lord just kind of spoke to me with what I didn't realize at the time would be the basis for today's message. And today we're talking about being seated at the table, particularly at the Lord's table. And one of the verses I shared after that simply came from Psalms 23, and it's verse 5. And here's how it reads, just a portion of it at least. It says, you prepare a table. This is David talking to the Lord, referring to the Lord as his shepherd, the Lord being our shepherd. And he said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And so it's interesting when you think about setting a table. Let's see if I can handle this. But when you think about setting a table, you know, you can't set a table like in one fell swoop. You know, you can't really just dump everything on the table and it be set. You know, you can't just dump a bunch of linen placemats, and you can't just dump a bunch of plates. These real plates too, by the way. You can't just dump a bunch of plates onto the table. You got to take meticulous care and put everything where it's supposed to go. And then, of course, you got to place the silverware. Okay. Fork, spoon. And this, okay. And then, yeah, I should have looked this up on Google or something. Am I doing this right? Who knows? I have no clue. You can't even see what's going on here. That's probably a good thing. That's probably a good thing. Probably some culinary people here like, oh my God, please get him off the stage now. What are you doing? My God. Is there more in here? Oh Lord, there's more. Okay. Cause see, you gotta lay everything out. And here's the thing. The Lord's table is a pretty big table when you really think about it. Then see, you got to do all of this kind of thing and just set that ever so preciously. I only know how to do this because this past week, my daughter is celebrating her birthday, her 18th birthday, and we got to go out to a really nice restaurant where they kind of do all of this stuff for you. And it was really cool to watch. I'm like, okay, I might use that in a message one day. And so when it comes to setting a table, you have to set each individual place setting. You know, I can't just dump glasses on the table and just let people kind of go for it. You know, I've got to pay careful attention to every place setting, to every glass, to every napkin, to every spoon, even if it does fall on the floor. I guess that's not okay. We'll just leave that there. And for as many people as God has details, he knows what you're allergic to. He knows all of the details of our lives. He knows exactly what to serve us. He knows how to do all of that. And so the table of the Lord of God is set before every single one of us. And it's for us to be ready partakers of it. However, as we discovered last week, some of us, even as adults, are kind of stuck in the high chair. And the problem with the high chair is that it's restraining to you. And a lot of times when you're in a high chair, that means that what you're eating isn't necessarily what's at this table. You kind of have to have things mushed up for you. You know, things strained for you. And there's something restraining you from coming to the Lord's table where he really wants you to be. And whatever it is in your life that you may be dealing with, some place, not even necessarily a place of sin per se, but just some places in our lives where we just need to develop. Some places in our lives where we just need to grow up. God wants to help us to grow up because he wants everybody to eat from his table. Man, that looks pretty good. All right, now, thank you, ushers. God wants us to eat from his table. And the thing is, when we are restrained by whatever's keeping us in this high chair, what happens is, because the food that's at this table is what really gives us our nourishment. And when we don't have the nourishment, David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So what I eat from your table actually gives me the strength to overcome those enemies that are before me. But when I don't have enough strength and maturity to eat what's at the table, I'm lacking somewhere and my enemies begin to triumph over me. So today, and see, the enemy, I want to make it clear that the enemy is not people. And in many times, yes, it's the enemy, yeah, the devil, but sometimes it's just us. And the places where we keep saying no to God, and the places where we are not quite ready to say yes, the places that are keeping us strained, restrained in, so that we're not making it to the adult table. Amen. Let them hallelujahs calm down before I move on, because, you know, I want you to get all of this. So today we're encouraging everyone to come to the table of the Lord. Come to the table of God. Come and eat freely. Everything that you need is there. You can have as much of it as you want. It is the absolute best all-you-can-eat buffet that you are ever going to experience in life. Here's the way Isaiah puts it in chapter 55, verse 1. And this is from the NIV. He says, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. It's all free to you. It's all available. Everything you need is there. Just come to the table. And so I want to go ahead and dive into this message. And we're going to begin at a passage from Matthew chapter 22. We're going to start right at verse 1. And here's how it reads. This is Jesus sharing a parable, and he's discussing this particularly in the midst of the Jews and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that time and in that area. And so Matthew 22 starts off this way. Jesus is talking. He answers them, and he speaks according to a parable. And this is what he says in verse 2. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like. You ever heard me say that and stop before? If you've ever heard me and say that and stop before, then you know what I'm getting ready to say next. But in case you haven't, when we hear Jesus say these words, we need to pay particular attention to what the kingdom is, or at least what the kingdom is like. We need to put whatever preconceived notions we may have had about what we thought was the kingdom, just put it on the shelf for a minute, put it to the side, and just gaze into what Jesus is saying right here, and let that be your definition of his kingdom. And so he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. Verse 3 says, and he sent out servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Now, understand who he's saying this to. He's saying this to his disciples are more than likely present, but he's saying this in the midst of Jewish Pharisees and legalist, kind of legalistic Jews. If you read chapter 21, rather, you'll see him having a very intense conversation. In fact, chapter 21 is where Jesus rides in on the donkey. He comes in, they say Hosanna, it's Palm Sunday, I guess, at the temple. So they come in, he comes in, and right after that he goes into the temple with what the Bible calls the cleansing of the temple. He takes a cord, he begins to whip people, turns over money tables, and kicks out the money changers, and says, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And then he goes into a story about two sons, about one who committed to do the will of God but didn't, and then another one who refused to do the will of God but ended up doing so. And he said, well, which one do you think would he's pleased with? Well, obviously the one who did the will of God. And he then follows it with this saying to the Pharisees, to their faces, he says, the harlots and the tax collectors make it into the kingdom before you do. And they perceived that all that he was talking about, even in that parable, was about them. And then they began to take some serious plotting into how they could kill him. And so we continue into chapter 22, and Jesus is starting in on another parable. Now, if you look at this parable, you begin to see something of what he's trying to say to them. He says, there's a king who's preparing a wedding for his son. Now, obviously, we're talking about God and Jesus. God making preparation for Jesus, but when Jesus was sent to earth by the Father, the Jews and the Pharisees did not receive him. And that's what's being made clear here, that when the servants went out, now when you talk about servants who went out, then you can likely be talking about those who are Old Testament prophets, like Isaiah or Daniel or Ezekiel. Many of those prophets who weren't even named at that time were among them. And so we're talking about what he's talking about here. It can be argued that he's referring to the Jews who refused to receive the Son, and those Old Testament prophets who were sent out to invite them to the wedding feast. And in verse 4, he says, again, he sent out servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I prepared a dinner, the oxen, the fatted calf or cattle are killed, and they are, all things are ready for them to come. So come to the wedding. But they made light of it, and they went their way, one to his farm, another to his business, and the rest seized the servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. Now, it could be said that when he gets to chapter or verse 4, that these are no longer Old Testament prophets. These are now the New Testament guys, people like Peter, James, John, who are now once again trying to bring the Jews into the revelation that this is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This is the one that you've been studying all these Old Testament scriptures about. He's finally here before you. Nevertheless, they rejected the message, they rejected the man, and they even killed the servants. They even killed the prophets or the apostles at that time and said, we're not having anything to do with that. But when the king heard it, he was furious, and he sent armies to destroy those murderers and burned up their city. Now, one could say that this is referring to what in Jesus' time right here would be a future event in 70 AD when Rome ended up seizing all of Jerusalem and completely destroyed the temple in a way that Jesus described in Matthew 24, that not one stone would be left upon another. And the reason why that was the case was because there was supposed to be gold in all of these different places. And so when the Romans seized Jerusalem, They said, we want all the money. We're tearing it all down. We're going to get all the gold and all the silver that's found in this place. And so in that particular war, if you want to call it, or in that particular battle, there was not one stone left on top of another in that temple. Verse 8. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. Whoever you find, whether they are Jew, whether they are Gentile, whether they are male, female, young, old, doesn't matter. If they're breathing, give them an invitation. Give them an invitation. Amen. Does everybody have your invitation? Do you have a bulletin today? That's your invitation this morning. Do you not have a bulletin? Just download the app. We'll scan it electronically. You get right in. If you're not even have a phone, can you just look at the screen? Because point number one says everyone is invited. Everyone is invited. Now, what do I mean when I say the Lord's table? It's just being a part of the kingdom of God, the family of God, through salvation in Jesus Christ. That's all this means. It's a beautiful symbolism of what it means to be a part of God's family. That when we partake of a meal together at a dinner table, it's the same kind of love and sharing and intimacy and connectivity that we find at a dinner table that the Lord has for himself as well as his people. So when we're talking about being a part of the Lord's table, all we're really saying is those that are saved, those that have Jesus Christ, those that have received him and are now a part of his family, they are now a part of the table of God. So everyone is invited. Everyone is invited. And when I say everyone is invited, I'm not necessarily talking about church. That's a good thing if we come to church. But I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about the Lord's table. And when you talk about the Lord's table, one of the things one of the leadership strategies that we've recently adopted as a church is the fact that everyone has a seat at the table. It's not necessarily something you'll find in the bylaws or whatever, but there's a commitment that we have as leadership, and not just my wife and I, but all of us who lead ministry, we have a commitment that everyone has a seat at the table. Everyone has a seat at the table. And it doesn't, if you were born on planet Earth, you have a seat at the table. And that's our commitment. Because we understand that that's God's way of looking at humanity, then that's the way we look at humanity. That everyone has a seat at the table. Everyone is invited. It may not even be that when you look at people and recognize that everyone is invited to the table of the Lord, it's not even so much that you look at people and say, oh, I want to invite you into my life space. The people that you look at and recognize, man, they're invited to the table of the Lord. They may not look in your eyes as being worthy of an invitation. They might have a history that in your mind might completely disqualify them from having a seat at the table. They might be presently involved in some things that when you think about those things that they're involved in, you might be tempted to say, I think they might be scratched off the guest list right there. They may use certain language, very colorful language, that when you hear them talk, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt they ain't coming to the Lord's table with that mouth. They might be dressed in a way, wear their hair in a certain way, have certain markings on their body that make you think humanistically, there's no way they're invited. But can I tell you something? Everyone is invited. Everyone is invited. It's a beautiful thing. Jesus said it this way, John 7, verse 37. On the last day, the great feast, Jesus stood up and said, if anyone thirsts, let me say that again. He cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If who?
Anyone.
What? Anybody. Hold on. Because I know this verse. We're talking about the Holy Ghost right here. Who is he talking about? Who?
Anyone.
You mean anybody can just have the Holy Ghost? Come on. But he's holy. We're filthy rags. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, the scripture said, out of his heart or belly, we can throw some King James in there once more, will flow rivers of living water. And he spoke this concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive, for the Spirit of God had not, or the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus had not been glorified. We say anyone. You know what that means? Because a whole lot of people don't know. A whole lot of people don't realize that they're invited. So what do we have to do? We have to spread the word. Hey, you're invited. It's a great feast coming up, and you're invited to this great feast. Matter of fact, there's I'm sure there's plenty for you, probably something that you'll love. You can come. You don't have to buy anything. You just receive the invitation. You just receive Jesus Christ. You just have him in your heart, and you'll be a partaker of the table of the Lord. So come on. Receive what the Lord is giving you. Receive what he has for you. You're invited. And in order to make people feel like they're invited to the table of the Lord, sometimes you got to make sure that they're invited into your world. They may not come to stay, but they got to feel the welcome. So when it comes to people that might look a little off in our eyes, Our job is not to make sure that they connect to us. Our job is to change our attitude about them, to recognize, I need to see you from the perspective of the Lord's table. I need to see you from the perspective of how God sees you. So my attitude has to change when, in my humanistic thinking, you dress wrong, you talk wrong, that skirt too short, them pants too tight, that hair's too many different colors, you got too many Chinese sayings on your arm, too many Italian sayings on your back, and too many German sayings on your leg. Something in my attitude has got to change. So that when I look at all of that, I say, they got a seat at the table. They're invited. And whatever my thoughts are about all of that, and what they've done, and what they're wearing, and how they smell, and what they look like, how they're talking, I've got to do something in me. I need God's help to help me with what I'm seeing, so that I can help them to their place at the table. Let's go to another scripture here. Romans 14 and 1. From the Message translation. So hopefully the King James people don't get too messed up. It says, welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something that you don't agree with. Even if it seems that they are strong on opinions, but weak in the faith department. Remember, they got their own history to deal with. So treat them gently. All right? So point number two, not only is everyone invited, but everyone is welcome. Invited and welcomed sounds very similar. Slight difference, though. When you're invited, it's just a net being cast. When you're welcomed, that means when the net got cast, you got caught in the net. And as I bring you in, the welcome is an extra step closer. Because when I welcome someone at the door, see, some of y'all went out probably this year or this month and you invited people to church. Now, just because you invited them, it doesn't mean that either I or somebody else in our family, in our church family, could welcome them. We couldn't welcome them until they made the decision to come. So that's an extra step that the person has to make. And so when I make the invitation, I graciously wait on them to receive it. You click on the Evite. Okay, I'm trying to be relevant here. You click yes on the Evite. I'm showing up. So when you get to the place, you get to the party, you get to church or wherever it is, now there's a welcome. What does it mean to welcome? That means to gladly embrace someone that's come. It's not, oh, there go your seat, get over there. It's, hey, I'm happy to see you. I don't know your name yet. Hi, my name is Doug. What's your name? Whatever it is. Thank you for joining us. Are you here with anybody today? Well, I came here with such and so. Oh, I know them. They're good, faithful people here. I'm so glad you came. If you'd like to get some coffee, you can get some coffee. I want you to feel welcome. Not just invited anymore. You're welcome. Thank you. You're welcome. So everyone is welcome. Revelation 7 and 9. Let's go there. It says, now understand, this is now, when we're talking about revelations, we're talking about what's happening at the end of the age. Once Jesus has come and all of the world is gone, We're talking about what happens in the next life. And so here in chapter 7, it says this. It says, after this, this is John the apostle who wrote Revelation. He says, after this, I saw a vast crowd. Now, he's in the spirit. He's in the heavenly places here looking at all of this and seeing those who've made it into the kingdom, basically those who've made it to the table is what he's seeing. And he says, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from how many nations? How many? From every nation and tribe and people and tongue standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed with white robes and held palm branches in their hand. Verse 13. Then one of the 24 elders said, who are all these people? Where did they come from, John? And John turns back in verse 14 and says, hey, you the one that know. I just got here. And then he said to me, these are the ones who died in the great tribulation. And they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, and they've been made white. Verse 16, and they will never again be hungry or thirst. Why? Because they have a seat at the, see, this ain't no ordinary table. Just like the woman at the well, Jesus said, that you, I want to give you water that's not some ordinary water from an ordinary well. I want to give you water that when you drink it, you won't thirst anymore. So that when you eat at the Lord's table, you won't hunger anymore. You won't be longing for something else to fill you, because everything at this table is good enough to fill you forever. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them into springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The welcome is for those that show up. Because when you read this scripture, if you're outside of the table, if you're outside of the king, and if you haven't received Jesus Christ, we live in 2019 in the United States of America, and we are sometimes troubled by spirits of rejection. So you look at this passage of scripture, and you might think, well, I feel left out of that. I don't feel like I'm a part of that number. And here's the reality of it. Everybody's welcome to be a part of this number, but it can only apply to those who decide to show up. I can't drag you to the table. I can only invite you. The invitation is there. The door is open. But if you decide that you're not going to show up, there's not a whole lot I can do for you after that. Except leave my hand extended to say, you're still welcome to come. You're still invited. We haven't revoked your invitation. Your name is still on the list. Okay, you keep getting Evite emails to let you know, hey, we need you to make a decision. And once you make that decision to say yes, then come on in. Come on in. And so what John saw was a picture of everybody. People from every tribe, Jews, Gentiles, didn't matter, Protestants or whoever they were. He saw people from every category you could probably name. And no one was left out. No one's name was left off the list. But only those who decided to come are a part of this number. So the welcome is for those who decide to show up. Verse 10, let's go back to Matthew 22. Go back to this parable Jesus is speaking on. It says, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both the good and the bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Point number three. Everyone has a place. Oh, wait, I can't put them next to it. No, I got it. That's a fight ready to happen. Everyone has a place. Everyone has a place. Let's see. I'm going to put Pastor Sean next to Pastor Doug. Aww. Oh, that's so sweet. Everyone, and there we go. Everyone, there's a placard with your name on it right in front of your plate, knife, fork, spoon, glass, napkin, and everything else. It's got your name on it. Can I just tell you, it's got everybody's name on it. Saved and unsaved. Good and bad. That's what it says right here. It's a name place for everybody. That's a big table. It's a name place for everybody. Let's go back to Romans 14. Message translation once more. Verse 1, they talked about welcoming those who may not see life the way you see life. They might have all kinds of differences. And then in verse 2, it jumps in and says, for instance, a person who has been around for a while might well be convinced that they can eat anything that's on the table, while another with a different background might assume that, you know, we should only be vegetarians and eat accordingly. But since both of them are guests at Christ's table, that means Jesus sent the invitation to both of them. Wouldn't it be terribly rude if we fell into criticizing each other and because of the food that they ate or didn't eat? God, after all, is the one who invited them both to the table. Do we have any business crossing their name off the guest list or interfering with God's welcome? Of course not. And if there are any corrections to be made and manners to be learned, God can handle that without your help. I always love that part. Yeah. God can handle that. So we don't need to put up all these unnecessary roadblocks and hurdles for people to say, well, you got to do this and you got to do that. You got to do this. And, you know, you can't do that. You can't say, nope, don't do that. We don't have to set up all these unnecessary hurdles for people. All we need to do is help people find their place at the table. Is that me? I thought that was 61, table 61. That's me. Oh, there I go, right there. Doug Neal. That's me. That's my seat. Who else is it? Ooh, it's a lot of people missing. It's a lot of empty spaces. Maybe I need to confirm that people got their invitation. Because I don't know if my neighbor realized there's an invitation still waiting. Maybe I need to send them an update on the fact that, hey, you have an invitation. Maybe there's a coworker that doesn't know there's an invitation still hanging out. Maybe there's a family member that didn't realize, you know, maybe that email went to spam. Just check your spam and see. Check your junk mail. Maybe it's in there. Please reply yes. So we don't need to create unnecessary hurdles for people to invite them to the table of the Lord. Let me read this scripture from Ephesians 4:16. Everybody has a place. Let's start at 14. It says, then we will no longer be immature. We will no longer be immature like children who are blown about with every new teaching. We will not be influenced by people trying to trick us with lies that are so clever that they sound like the truth. But instead, we will speak the truth in love, and we will grow in every way more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. That means he has a positioning and a placement for every person that works out perfectly. He makes the whole body to fit together perfectly as each person does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So I'm in my place. And I recognize there's somebody else in their place. And they have something to offer that I can't necessarily provide for myself. Good being 6'3 and being able to swing your legs a little bit. So I see something on that end of the table that I can't quite reach. And I say, hey, can you pass that mac and cheese down here, please? That looked really good. I like the burnt parts, too. Pass that on down. And so they pass me that. So I'm receiving something from them that I couldn't provide from myself from the table of the Lord that they're in position to give me. But there's some gravy here for their mashed potatoes that's right next to me. So I get to give them something that actually is helping them out because where they're seated and where they are positioned, they can't quite reach this as easily. They probably could get to it, but they couldn't reach it as easily as I could just hand it to them. So there's a gift inside of me that the Lord has positioned at his table that says, I'm able to give to you, and you're able to give to me, and we're able to share in a full meal. You ever hear that story about the people that had the long handle spoons, and the spoon was so long that can you imagine a 10-foot spoon or a 40-foot spoon? It's so long that I can't even actually get it to my mouth, and it's tied to my hand. But what they started realizing at the table is that, you know, if I feed you and you feed her and she feeds him and she feeds this one, you feed that one, and that one feeds the other one, that one feeds me, while I'm feeding them, we actually get to eat. Because I'm using my positioning to actually help to feed you so that the whole body is growing together, perfectly positioned and placed by the Lord, so that we can all have something to eat, so that we can all be nourished, and so that we can all grow in love. And now the enemy comes our way, we know how to stand together, because he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. But we got so much good nourishment because we've been feeding each other, and we're not all disconnected and offended with each other, that we now have strength and vitality so that when the enemy does come, we can vanquish the enemy. The whole body, healthy, growing, full of love. Point number four. I bet you're wondering what's in here. Everyone has enough. It's just a problem. Everyone has enough. There's enough for everyone. I don't have to be jealous of what you got. There might be some sections. It might be, I might see, you ever had that moment at a dinner, like a Thanksgiving dinner, where it's like, man, your plate is full, and all of a sudden you see somebody walk by with something you didn't get? Yeah. Like, oh. And if you're like me, you know how to get it on that plate some kind of way. let me just slide these green beans. Put that right there. And if you're a person that don't like the other foods touching, this is not the meal I'm talking about for you right now. Ooh, everything's touching on my plate Thanksgiving. That's a whole other message right there. Come on, John chapter 6. John chapter 6, everybody has enough. Jesus, we know this story. This is the one miracle that's actually in all four of the gospels here. And it's the feeding of the 5,000. And it says that Jesus soon saw a huge crowd. He saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. And he turns to Philip and he asks, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? I love verse 6. He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. He was testing Philip. And see, God's not a respecter of persons. So if he was testing Philip, it might be some situations in my life where God's just testing me, just to see how I'm getting ready to respond. Because he already knows what he's getting ready to do. If I can just trust him enough and let him do it. And so Philip replies, you know, even if we work for months, we would not have enough money to feed all these people. And then Andrew comes, Simon's brother, and he speaks up. He said, hey, we got something here. There's a young boy. He's got 5 barley loaves and he's got 2 fish. And oh my goodness, I don't think we're going to make it. He says, what good is that with this huge crowd? Miss Dolores, can you share something with us? Can you just share how the Lord puts it on your heart?
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are more than enough for me. Jehovah Rapha, you're my healer. By your stripes, I've been set free. Jehovah Shammah, you are with me to provide all of my needs. You are more than enough. You're more than enough. You are more than enough for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are more than enough for me. Jehovah Rapha, you're my healer. By your stripes, I've been made free. Jehovah Shammah, Lord, you're with me to provide all my needs. You are more than enough. You're more than enough. You are more than enough. You're more than enough. You are more than enough. You are more than enough.
Hold on a second. Now, let me, because I'm getting ready to let her sing a little bit more, because I want her to sing till you get it. Because here's what you got to understand. Jesus tells them, hey, sit down. So they all sat down on the ground. About 5,000 men, just with the men alone. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, distributed them to the people, and afterwards he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. Here's why I have to break with this song right here. I have to break inside of this message to give you this song to remind you that God is Jehovah Jireh. God is the God who will provide. He is the God who will supply your need. I don't know what you're dealing with in your own home, but I'm seeing some things where God is causing us to give big in the midst where we don't have much. And when we look at what we do have, it is not nearly enough to cover what's coming. But in putting that into the hands of the Lord, we've seen nothing but the provision and God's blessing everywhere we turn. We have seen nothing but God's blessing. And it's still tight. And there are times when you get into seasons like these. In fact, when you look at this particular scripture, it says they entered into a deserted place. Some of us may be in some desert places. Some desert places right now where we need God to show up in a big, big way. When we look at what we have and we understand that it's not enough to do what it is that we needed to do, we've got to put it not just a portion in God's hand. You got to be not talking about a tithe or an offering. If that's what God leads you to do, that's fine. But I'm saying you got to be able to give it all to the Lord. You've got to be able to give it all to the Lord. Can you start that song from the top one more time? Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh.
Go ahead and sing it if you need to.
My provider, you are more than enough for me. Jehovah Rapha. You're my healer. By your stripes I have been set free. Jehovah Shammah, you are with me to provide all my needs. You are more than enough. Sing it with me. More than enough. You are 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 more. You are more than enough. You are more than enough. You are more than, sing it until you feel it. You are more than enough. Lord, you're more than enough. Yes, you're more than enough. You are 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 more than enough. Lord, you're more than enough. Jesus, you are more than enough. You are more than enough. I trust you, you are more than enough. I lean on you, you're more than enough. I wait on you, you're more than enough. You are more than enough. You are more than enough. You are more than enough for me.
Thank you, Mr. Loris. So I just want to pray. I'm going to get to point five, but I just want to pray right here that if you're in a desert place, if you're in a valley place, you know, just before the scripture that I read to open this message, in Psalms 23 and 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod is a rod of correction that keeps me in line, but your rod is also a weapon against the enemy that drives away the enemy forces that try to attack me. And your staff is leading me. It's bringing me to a place of still waters. It's making me lie down in green pastures. It's making sure I have everything I need because you are my shepherd. And when I follow you, I shall not lack. I shall not be in want. And so when it looks like all I have is a little, I trust you with it all. When it looks like what I have is not enough to defeat the bills, to defeat the enemy, to defeat the sickness, to defeat every circumstance, to defeat everything going on at my job, when what I have doesn't feel like enough, when I put it in your hands, Lord, you bless it, and you make it more than enough. You make it more than enough. It says, Jesus took the loaves. He gave thanks. He distributed it to the people. And afterwards, he did the same with the fish. And they ate as. And after everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. Some accounts say 12 baskets full. I don't know how big a basket is. But it sounds like a little bit more than five loaves of bread and two fish. Unless these were some really big loaves. And some really big fish. I want to encourage you with this. It felt like a revelation. And I want to encourage you, and I'm like, God, help me to know if this is what I'm supposed to share here. But there are times when what we are gifted to put on display aren't used. And when I look at this passage of Scripture, everything didn't get eaten. But everybody ate. And I guess I just want to encourage you in this, that if what's bubbling on the inside of you doesn't get eaten, don't let it stop you from eating. You know, I brought my potato salad and nobody seemed to eat that. But don't let that make you leave the table. Just make sure your plate gets full. All right. Just make sure you eat. What I make all this for? Ain't nobody gonna eat it. But here's what I believe with all my heart. That somehow God knows how to not let it go to waste. Because it may not get eaten here. Anybody got a freezer full of potato salad? And somewhere what you serve may not get eaten at the meeting you were at. And all of a sudden, 2 years down the road, somebody remembers something you said, something you shared, that all of a sudden, 2 years later, changed their life. I hear that move on. So if it doesn't get eaten, remember, it won't go to waste. Can you just receive that? If it doesn't get eaten, it won't go to waste. Amen. Let's go back to Matthew 22. Last point here. Verse 11. But when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who didn't have on the wedding garments. And he said, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, few are chosen. Many are called. Can I tell you who the many are? Everybody. That's the many. Many are called. That's everybody. You know who the few are that are chosen? The ones who say yes to the call. Those are the ones that God chooses. The ones that say yes. The ones that show up. The ones that click the green button on the Evite. Not the maybe. Thank you. Thank you for that. But everybody's called. The ones that are chosen are just the ones that decided to say yes to the call. So point number five, Everybody's invited. Everybody's welcome. Everybody has a place. Everybody, whatever I put in point four. That's enough. Yes, thank you. Everybody has enough, but that doesn't mean that everybody's going to be a partaker. And there are going to be some people that miss it. Jesus said this. There's a broad road that leads to destruction. There's going to be many that take that road. But then there's a narrow pathway that's hard, and there's going to be few that find it. That's unfortunate, but that's not something we have a whole lot of control of. What we do have control of is making sure that people get their invitation. So about what particular passage he says, you don't have the right garment on. Well, what garment are we talking about? Well, Colossians 3:9 says this. It says to put off the old man with its deeds. And then Romans 13:14, it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So I take off the old man, I put on Christ. That's my wedding garment. That's what makes me prepared to sit at the Lord's table. When I take off the old man and I make a decision to put on Christ. So we've got to make sure that everybody has their invitation. So Jesus, after he's risen from the dead, he sees his disciples in Matthew 28. He says this. He tells them, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, that I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now, when we talk about the end of the age, that's it. That's the final moment. That's what we would sometimes refer to as the rapture, the end of the world, if you want to call it that. And in Revelations 19, it says this. It says, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those are the ones who said yes to Christ. And if we've said yes to Christ in this place, we've got to know that there are many who are missing out on the invitation to the Lord's table. And our job at this point is not to pre-qualify people. Just give them their invitation. God will work some stuff out. If they need your help, if God needs your help, he'll instruct you in that. But don't worry about you don't need to screen people for the table of the Lord. Everybody's invited. Everybody is welcome. Everybody has a place, and there's enough for everyone. But not everybody's going to be prepared. So our job is helping people to be prepared. Let's close with this. Galatians 4, verse 1 says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he's master of all. But he's under guardians and stewards until the appointed time of the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. When we're sitting in this child's high chair, in an immature place, there are people seated at the table, and there are also servers who are making sure that everybody has what they need. The ones seated at the table are the ones that eat. The servers are not eating. They're just making sure that the ones at the table are eating. When I'm in this high chair, I'm no different than the servant. That means I don't really have what's on everybody else's plate to eat. But in the fullness of time, when I receive what God has sent in Jesus Christ, I now become an heir, and I go from this seat to this seat, so that I now have a seat at the table. I now have a seat to eat all of what God has provided for me that is enough to nourish the fullness of who I am in Him. Verse 6 says, and because we are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into our hearts, whereby we now cry out, Abba, Father. I now cry out because He has put His Spirit in me. He's given me a whole new being inside of me. He's given me a portion of Himself that now I'm so connected with Him and everybody else at the table that we now call Him Father. We now call Him Dad. And therefore, we are no longer slaves, but we are sons. And if we are sons, then we are heirs of God through Christ Jesus. We're heirs of God. That means we have an inheritance. We have a right to be partakers of what's at the table. We have a freedom to be able to call upon whatever it is that we need. If we need healing, because we're sons, we have the right to call upon healing. If we need peace, we have a right to call upon peace. If we need joy, we have the right to call upon joy. Can you pass me the joy down here? Can you just reach that for me? Thank you. It's all at the table. It's all at the table of God. It's all in His provision.
I'm no longer a slave.
Restraints that once held me, they're now broken. This gets to come off. And I get to step out of my bondage, and I get to come to a table that I know I don't deserve a place at. But because of His grace, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, He now welcomes me. When I make the decision to say yes, I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm tired of sitting at the child's chair because there's too much still lacking in my life. I can feel the emptiness. I can feel it. I can feel the shortcoming. I can feel the short-sightedness. I can feel that there's something more in this life than just me throwing food all over the floor, than just my own personal gratification. There's more. There's more. I can feel it. I know it deep down in my heart. There's something that's not quite fulfilled. And boy, when I look at that spread, man, that looks good. David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. And if you're here today and you have not become a partaker of the Lord's table and you haven't received Jesus Christ, we want you to come. I'm going to invite our prayer team to come, and they'll meet you right here at this altar so that you can see your seat at the table is already made up. We just got to get you in it. Your seat is already prepared. He's already prepared a place. That's why Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. It's already set out. And you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to experience it. So if you're here today and you desire to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come. Why don't we all stand right now? Maybe you're here this morning and you've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but you know that there's some immature places in your life that just need developing. And you're ready to just surrender that to the Lord, to say, God, I know I'm falling short here. And I've been defining my life by my shortcoming. But I believe that you're able to make me whole. Maybe you're even here today and all you feel like you have is the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And what's in front of you looks like it's way too much for you, for what's in your hand to handle. And it's taken all kinds of courage for you just to let that go and put it in the Lord's hand, to let him bless it, let him multiply it, let it take care of the need, so that you will have more left over than what you even started with. So if that's you in any kind of way, we invite you to come. Can we sing that one more time?
I'm no longer enslaved to fear. I am a child.
People that we haven't seen, we're going to see them, Lord, and we're going to have to recognize you've got a place for them. Give us a new thought, Lord. Give us a new mindset. Give us a new heart, Lord, that sees people not just from our human eyes, but help us to remember there's a place, there's a placard with their name on it in heaven. And it's not waiting for them to die and go to heaven, Lord God, for them to receive it. They can have it all right here. And so, Lord, help us in our hearts and in our minds to see every person like a welcomed guest at the Lord's table. They may not have received their welcome just yet. They may be struggling with some things. Maybe they received their welcome and they're still struggling in some areas, still trying to develop in some areas. But Lord, help us to understand that if there's anything that needs to be corrected in their lives, you can handle that. without our help. We pray for every one of them, Lord. We pray that your mercy and grace will touch their lives. We pray that your spirit, Lord God, will do the healing and the repairing work in their life, the work of restoration, Lord, so that they can freely enjoy everything that you've provided, Lord. We all desire that. We all desire it to be so for us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you're in need of prayer, we do still invite you to come. We'll be here for a while, so please don't hesitate to come and receive prayer. If you need to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, we welcome you to do so. Amen. God bless you so much. Don't forget to be a partaker at the family life table. Be a partaker of that wonderful fundraiser. Hug a few people before you go, and we will see you next time. God bless you.